All right. You all set?
Yep.
Okay, we will now convene the July 12, 2016 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I have reviewed and approved the minutes of June 14, 2016. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's cases?
Yes, sir, Mr. Vukelj. We do have two cases that are in compliance that are not reflected on the agenda. Number 7, case number SMG041618 for 568 Heinemann Street was in compliance July 12th today. And number 11, SMG051627 for 400 Fremont was compliance July 9th.
Thank you. Well, those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right. With that, we will proceed to the first case on the agenda, Tudja & Kaival, LLC. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine, having been continued from our June 14th meeting. Okay, Counselor, if you would please state your name for the record.
Kenneth Bohannon for the respondent.
Okay, and if your client's going to be testifying, he'll need to be sworn. I'll leave that to you.
Can you just state your name at the mic for the record, please?
Yeah, Praveen Patel.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, as I recall, where we left off was we were unclear with regard to compliance with various and sundry items. Our inspector was to do a final inspection, particularly for the handrails, the electrical work, possibly looking back into the roof. So that having been said, let's hear from the city as far as why I should consider finding these respondents.
Mr. McKelj, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. The inspector in this case is Cliff Reconcone. And as you have indicated, we were here last month requesting a fine be imposed, and you had continued this to for us to obtain additional information regarding the violations. The inspector's reported to me that he's gone back out to the property and has determined the and I'll really have to bring the inspector up to make sure on the factual issues as to the violations. But my best understanding is that the violations are in compliance. All violations other than the roof are in compliance. The issue we get regarding the roof is that, and I, as I looked back at the minutes, I saw that. This is something that Mr. Bohannon said as well. The permits that were pulled for the roof were for, I guess, a 20 squares of a section that was damaged, even though the intent was that they were supposed to do a full roof. The inspector indicates that although he sees the area where they did work, that it's not complete, and it's, as far as our code inspector is concerned, it's not in compliance. It's work that would require a permit. Our permit inspection has not been done because the inspection doesn't trigger until a contractor announces completion of the job and calls the contract and calls the permits forward. So the permit would still be an open permit in any sense, but in this circumstance, the inspector indicates that the repairs right now are not satisfactory, and I'll have to bring the inspector up to give you more factual information on that. So I would turn to Mr. Reconcone as well.
Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Cliff Reconcone. I'm an inspector. My credentials are on file. Good morning, sir. When it comes to the roof, there's more work that was done on the roof than there was outside of the permit. The permit was set for one side of the one just piece of the roof. Work was done on all the roofs without a permit. The permit has to be adjusted to fit the work that was done. Until then, I can't say that the roof is in compliance.
All right. I see in the record something to the effect that What was permitted was 20 squares to be installed on the roof.
It was that front section.
Well, my question is, I'm a layman. What's a square mean?
The square feet.
The square feet. 20 square feet?
No, it was 2,000 square feet.
Okay.
Squares,
100 square feet?
I would assume so, yes, sir.
Okay. So it sounds like somebody had estimated that 2,000 square feet of roofing was needed to be replaced, and a permit was pulled for that purpose.
Correct.
And we never ended up replacing 2,000 square feet of roofing.
That roof was replaced.
That roof was replaced.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But that part of the roof was never, that permit and that part of the roof was never finally inspected by the city.
Okay.
It was never requested by the contractor for that final.
Okay. Have we looked at it to this day?
No. The building official will not do an inspection on the roof until they're called by the contractor.
All right. Who's the contractor?
G.L. Martin.
Okay. And does G.L. Martin replace Mr. McDuffie or whatever his name was? Dwayne McDuffie?
He's the owner of G.L. Martin Construction.
Okay. So G.L. Martin, and I thought this was the guy that already left the job.
Correct. He has the permit on the property, and it's on hold.
He has the permit. He's not on the job.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Couch, if I may, I think his testimony was that he was asked to leave the job, that he did not, they didn't terminate his contract, but his people were told to leave the job before he was able to give an estimate for the cost of the roof, and so that they used an alternative solution to. Okay, well, that's what I recall. And so I'm just trying to bring him up to speed. If you have a different recollection, that's fine.
I might be able to give you a more up-to-date.
No, hang on a second. I want to talk to him.
Yes, sir.
So what's the problem here? Well, first off, don't assume that I'm satisfied with the fact that we just painted everything. I'm not necessarily satisfied with that.
Okay.
But setting that aside for the moment, I'm trying to understand the situation with the permit here. So you're waiting for Mr. McDuffie and his company to call for an inspection on a permit that he pulled, but you know Mr. McDuffie's not on the job.
Correct, but I've also explained to both of them that they can hire another contractor, pull a new permit, and that new contractor could take over the responsibility of the roof.
And Mr. McDuffie never even got to the point of obtaining an estimate?
On the rest of the roof? No.
Okay, now, had Mr. McDuffie called you and had you gone out there to do this final inspection on the roof, what would that consist of?
That would be the building official actually doing the inspection.
Okay. And is all this work visible, or has stuff been covered up?
I can't tell you what the building official does in his inspection. I don't do those inspections.
Okay. And is the city right now seeking the imposition of a fine given the status of this matter?
Yes.
On what basis?
That there was still work that was done on the roof without a permit.
What work was that, Nev?
The painting of all the rest of the other roofs.
Gotcha.
None of that was permitted because the other that's pretty much the basis, because the roof is still not. I can't say that the roof is good because of the roof permit was never pulled, and the city can't do an inspection to prove that the roof is.
Okay.
What
does the respondent, in your opinion, have to do to get this done?
He either has to get the contractor that's under contract with him to close out the permit, or get a new contractor, open a new permit, and have that permit closed. Somebody has to take responsibility for the work that was done on the roof.
Which still necessitates an inspection.
Correct.
And we still have to address the matter of the expansion of work beyond the original permit request.
Correct.
So anyone, I guess if we wanted to put it right now, somebody with contractor status has to show up, submit a new permit application to cover the work that has in fact been done.
Correct.
Then it needs to be inspected and approved.
Yes, sir.
And then we're in compliance?
Yes. If it passes the inspection, then we'll be...
passes the inspection.
Then we'll be in compliance.
Okay. And so as I understand, the basis for the proposed imposition of the fine right now is work beyond the scope of permits and failure to call for an inspection.
Correct.
Is there anything I'm missing?
Just that the position of the city has been that this is a project that's been put off and put off to, and so there's this lack of diligence. It's been over a year that we've been working on this. It started back on June 12, 2015. And so that, along with the fact that here we are even today with having a contractor taken off the job and even a further delay on accomplishing something that could have been accomplished in a relatively short period of time. It's also included in that analysis for the request for fine.
Okay. And are you still seeking a fine in the amount of $500 per day to a maximum of $25,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, let's hear from the respondent.
Just to give you a quick update with the contractor, GL Martin, through their counsel, together with my office, have come to terms and they have agreed to expand the scope of the permit and to call for the final inspection. It leaves some outstanding issues between those two parties, but not between the city and the respondent in this case. Unfortunately, they were unable to do that prior to today's meeting. In talking with Cliff earlier, I understand that he got some information from the roofing coating that is on there. And just to go back and give you some more clarification, the 20 squares that we talked about were completed. They were shingled. And what we had talked about 6 months ago was going through and doing something above and beyond what was called for in the code compliance portion of it, and that was going to be replacing the entire roof. Unfortunately, we were unable to get funding in order to do that. So in lieu of that, what we opted to do was to make the roofing uniform in appearance and as to further go above and beyond what was required for code compliance. The rest of the roof was not subject to leaking or anything else. It just happened to have some different covered shingles on there. In order to make it uniform, they were covered in a tar, which is an additional sealant barrier. So that is what has happened here. What we're doing is going above and beyond what code compliance is requesting. The disagreement between the contractor and the owner, it's nothing unusual, but what we've come, as I said, we've come to terms to expand the scope of the permit in order to include the actual coating and to call for the final inspection. I understand that the permit is now on hold, and talking with Cliff earlier, and so what we're doing was we were waiting on the actual type of material that was used for the coating so that we could use that in the permit expansion. It doesn't require a new permit. It just requires an expansion of the scope of the original permit because it allowed for roofing underneath the existing permit. So that's where we're standing here today. You know, as far as the year is concerned, if you look at the list of things that were done, it wasn't insignificant. These aren't not things that can happen overnight when somebody is working on a limited budget. We've been diligent in doing all of those things that we can do within the means that is available to us. But some things are just beyond the economic range of my client. So we've gone through and we've done those things that we can do, and we've gone above and beyond what is required for the code and compliance in order to appease your honor and appease the city. What we ended up with was actually a decent-looking product, but requires, again, an expansion of the permit and a final inspection. That's all that I know that it remains to be open.
How significant a request is it to expand this permit and conduct the final inspection? That's the first question. I mean, counselor's saying he put in his 20 squares. The difference being, you're not going to see a patchwork of roof up there. You're going to see a uniform finish because in addition to the 20 squares, they put the sealant on top of everything, which sounds like it was beyond the scope of the original permit. But my first question is, have we satisfied ourselves that the 20 squares were, in fact, put in there?
No.
All right. So you need to do that.
There's a close-up of one place. He's going to pull up a picture that it's an actual different type of roof now. Now, when I went out there and took this picture, that looks like the actual paper that's placed underneath the shingles. And what I've been told by the property owner today, that it's the type of roof that you would put on a flat roof. There's been other work that's been done on this roof other than just the adding of the sealant. If a flat roof kind of surface was put up there also. So none of that work, and that's right at the corner of where the new work was done and the old part of the roof that hasn't been part of the permit.
May I park?
No,
when we had spoken earlier, you said you couldn't identify that as being the 20 squares, but you do recall that the 20 squares have been installed, but they haven't been inspected.
Correct.
So they have been installed, we're still waiting for the final inspection. The final inspection then will not come until there's an expansion of the permit, and then a final inspection on that, is that right?
They can do an inspection. They can do an inspection on that roof, on that section.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest of the roof mm-hmm. has to be permitted.
Right. So
they can change. They can change the permit that they have on that 20 sections
right.
to commit to the entire roof and all the work that was done, and say that this was done here and this was done there,
mm-hmm.
or they can say that they can close this permit and open a permit for the other. But you have one part of the section of the roof that wasn't permitted, that has no permit, that work was done. You have another section of the roof that had a permit and work was done and was never finaled.
Right. So we have a section that was installed but never finaled, and we have a greater expansion of the coating, which needs to be expanded in a permit or
right.
a new permit.
Right. And you have the coating, and now what you explained to me today,
mm-hmm.
that's a totally different type of roof.
So that also needs to be
correct.
Well, this is going to be my next question. The new coating on the roof, is this a plus, a minus? I've been told it's more aesthetically appealing, whatever. I guess what I'm wanting to know is...
It's
this
a sealant?
Is it to just painting the roof, or is this a roof system in and of itself?
What I read online about the product that was used, it looked like it was just a sealant. But he also said the contractor that the company that put that sealant on also said that he diluted it to use it on a sprayer, 8 to 11%, and I couldn't find any instructions on any of the websites for that company saying that could be diluted. So, to say that it was effective from the information that was given to me, I can't say a positive. That was a positive puzzle to you.
Okay. Now, first off, is all we're talking about now is the roof?
Yes.
Along with everything else?
Yes.
All right. And when the respondent was originally notified of the violation, it was the need to replace those 20 squares?
He was notified that the roof had to be repaired.
I understand that. But
the entire roof.
During the course of the conversation, it got more specific to the point of replacing 20 squares.
No. It was always the entire roof. It was always...
Well, what was the problem with the entire roof then?
There was actual tenants when we were on walking through that were saying that they had leaks when we were walking around doing the inspections of all the property.
And we don't know whether or not those problems have been remedied because we haven't been out there to do an inspection.
Correct.
Sure.
But you have done inspections of the rooms themselves, have you not?
Yes. I've done an inspection of five rooms.
Have you found any leaking or any indications that the roof is not sealed? Is there any intrusion of water within those units?
Not in the five rooms that I checked.
Did you check them when you talked with the tenants?
We were in three rooms the day that we were talking to tenants.
Did you follow up with those rooms?
I followed up with the two rooms. And the roofs and ceilings look the same, mm-hmm. but there, I can't tell if a roof has been redamaged.
But you can tell that there's water intrusion inside, mold, for instance, stains, that type of information.
I'd have to go back to my pictures. I can't remember now. It's been a couple months since I've been in the actual rooms.
Have you found any water intrusion before this, right?
Well, I've been part of the roof since then. So.
But you would have reported a water intrusion that you saw at that time. At the time you did the inspection.
Reported it like.
You would have told the magistrate or.
Yes, I'm explaining that the entire roof needed to be fixed. That
because of water intrusion.
Because of water intrusion, yes.
And you determined there was water intrusion by looking at the rooms.
When I did the inspection on the three rooms, the three complaint rooms.
And were those three rooms underneath the 20 squares?
No.
They were different areas of the roof.
Different areas of the roof, yes.
And you explained that to the contractor?
Yes.
And rather than changing that roof, you just did the 20 squares?
That the other roof, the one that was done, was damaged to the point where it was actually, you could see physical damage where the roof was wavy. It was actual, they had to replace everything.
From today, you can't say whether those rooms are waterproof. So you're saying?
Correct.
But you did do a final inspection of all of the other code compliance.
Yes.
Just one follow-up question. Mm-hmm. And I think you already talked about this, but are you able to tell from the integrity of the work that was done whether it would, whether that roof would hold up?
No.
Is that part of your inspection, is to do an analysis of whether a roof material is?
No, that's where the permit comes in.
Right. So
all right, I've heard enough. Here we go. Here's what we're doing.
I'm feeling lame this morning. I'm continuing the imposition of this fine until August 9, 2016. I'm not going to continue it again after that. And if I impose a fine, that fine's going back as of May 4, 2016, which was when we were here for the imposition of the fine to begin with. All right? And at the next meeting, I don't want to hear about applications. I don't want to hear about inspections. Y'all are going to take your best shot. So I'm telling the city, get people out there to take a look at this roof so somebody can speak to me about what the problems are or are not with it. I don't care if an inspection's been requested by them. I'm requesting one. So I want to know the status of the roof. And as far as the respondent is concerned, I'm not going to tolerate any more excuses. I don't care what happens. Unless a plane falls out of the sky on this place, this is either going to be fully in compliance. And if that means new permit applications, new contractors, working 24 hours a day, I don't care. So, at the next meeting, there's going to be a decision made. Either the respondent is going to be fined because this matter is not fully in compliance, or he won't be fined because it is absolutely in compliance. And I'm not going to hear any more conversation about changing contractors, changing the plans, changing the scope of the work, substituting materials, not doing an inspection, nobody's called for this, I'm not going to do it anymore. So, on August 9, 2016, I'm going to make a determination with regard to the imposition of the fine. I'm not singling out the respondent. I'm just putting the respondent on notice. If a fine is levied, it's going back to May 4, 2016, when this thing was supposed to be in compliance. So this is not a new order of noncompliance establishing a new compliance date. This is merely a continuance of the imposition of the fine. And when I hear from the city, with all due respect, I don't care if they call for an inspection or not. I want someone to be able to talk to me about what's been done with the roof. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Have they gone above and beyond the call of duty, or have they just sidestepped what they originally wanted to do to substitute some cheap variation thereof? Not that I'm saying that that's what happened. My point is, I want to know the full story come August 9th. 10-4?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good luck.
I have nothing further. May I be excused?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Case number 2, J.J. Bryan, Florida Incorporated.
Good morning. Colleen Miles, Land Development Resource Group, 140 South Beach Street, Suite 400, on behalf of J.J. Bryan.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
You want me to just...
We'll go with them first.
Mr. Kelcher, this is before you for imposition of fine has also continued from June 14th. The inspector is Tom Klieg. He advised me that this information he'd like to advise you of concerning this. It is the understanding that the respondent is going before the Board of Adjustment to remedy, but I'll tender Mr. Klieg to give you all the factual information.
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. 1901 North Atlantic, I talked to the owner, and he was telling me he hired Ms. Miles to work on the adjustment part of the permit. The owner said he went to the next-door neighbor. We had an intrusion of erosion next door. He said he talked to the property owners. They worked out some sort of an agreement. But the main thing was he told me that if he can't get an agreement with the Board of Adjustment through Ms. Miles, that he will remove the overhang. So the city says he's moving in a forward direction, so I think Ms. Miles will explain what their next process is. So.
Have you known when the Board of Adjustment meets?
Next Thursday.
Okay. So what's the relief request?
We're requesting to amend to the next cutoff, Mr. Kelcher.
I assume you have no objection?
None, sir.
All right, based on the presentation by the city and the respondent's representative, I'm going to order that we amend the current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until August 3, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And let it be noted that the reason for the continuance is to allow the respondent an opportunity to pursue whatever administrative remedies may otherwise be available prior to the special magistrate making a determination as to whether further action should be taken. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Case number 3, Larry Brown and Abner Brown. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, Mr. McKelvey, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector says he's had no contact from the respondent since the last meeting. You may recall at the last meeting we did report that there was only a small amount of work remaining. However, the inspector has no knowledge of any additional work being done. The inspector is requesting a $100 a day fine to a maximum of $10,000. And for the record, Inspector John Stinson.
How do we go from almost done to $100 a day, just out of curiosity?
Send to Mr. Stinson.
Is that what it looks like currently, or is that an old picture? I just saw some trash in the corner of that property.
I'm sorry. John Stinson, Code Inspector with City. These are relatively old. There's another folder in there. However, the property has been painted. It's still blue. The trash is gone. Let's just go through the line. Trash is gone. The parking is gone. The electrical fixtures and plumbing fixtures have been repaired. Smoke detectors have been installed. He still needs to work on interior surfaces. The exterior doors have been repaired. He needs to work on the windows and the roof. And he no longer has a need for business tax receipt because it's no longer rental property. Unfortunately, since the last hearing, I have had no contact.
left to be done?
He needs to address the exterior surfaces and rear of the property and replace a broken window, and there's still some roof work that needs to be done on the rear of the property. So roof,
a fair amount of work left to be done.
Right, roof, windows, and exterior.
And now he's just falling off the planet on us?
Well, apparently his job keeps him traveling, but that's no excuse.
Is this his residence?
It is now. The case began, it was a rental property, and it was a tenant complaint. Since then, the tenant's been evicted, he's been gone for a while, and this property owner has been making the repairs on his own, as he can when he's in town. It is owner-occupied.
I mean, he's making the repairs as one who's owner-occupied?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And do we have any idea why the respondent's not here to give us some excuse?
The only explanation I can think of is that he's out of town. It has happened in the past, often.
Okay. All right, I'm going to find the respondent the sum of $50 per day commencing July 13, 2016 and to continue each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches $10,000 and the property is brought into compliance. There was something wrong about the way I keep saying that. $50 per day, each day, until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $10,000 or the property is in compliance.
Yeah.
The compliance just designates the cutoff of the fine.
Correct.
It's not as though the compliance waives or in any way
It stops the running fine.
Very good. I just want to make sure we're all clear.
Yeah.
I started worrying about that.
No. I think you're fine how you're announcing it.
Case number 4, 700 Madison Avenue Land Trust, dated 11/20/2014.
Good morning. Can you say your name, please?
Joe Crandall.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Mr. Kalja, actually this is a situation where Crandall Construction is here to rescue this respondent. The position of the city has been that he's been lacking diligence in getting this taken care of, and our intent was to request a fine. However, the inspector informs me now that he's received message from Crandall Construction. We expect to hear from him now that they're indicating that one of the units, you may recall this is case number 4 is one unit, case number 5 is a separate unit, that one of the units is complete, but based on when we've received this information, the inspector has not had an opportunity yet to reinspect. So as of right today, our report is that the property remains in noncompliance. And but we want to hear from Crandall Construction. Our intent was to request a fine, but we'll hear from Crandall.
Mr. Crandall, what say the respondent?
Hey, good morning. I'm here for the owner. As soon as he called me, which was late May, I pulled a permit. A permit was pulled 6/10. The inspector requested that one unit be completed within 30 days. It has been. I've got a partial inspection on that one unit from the city, so that's already passed. We had to do an eviction on the second unit, which was the 30th of the June, and currently we are working there. We respectfully request 30 days to finish that second unit. And then there's one other third unit. I guess I want another 30 days after that to do the third unit. And right now all I need to do is call John in and inspect back to apartment number 1 that the city passed. But John's got to go see it. Otherwise, that's it. Thank you.
All right. We mentioned 3 units, and I've got 2 before me, unit 1 and unit 2. So can somebody explain?
The inspector informs me that Unit 1 and Unit 2 are the two units that were brought before the magistrate. There was a number, another unit, Unit 5, that may have needed some work, but he didn't cite that unit.
So the third unit he's talking about isn't even before me?
That's correct. And the position of the staff is that we're willing to give them the additional next compliance, next cutoff to come into compliance on the remaining work, and we'll inspect it all, and hopefully it's all done. I think he's indicating that he has permit approval on the first one of the jobs, and so we're willing to work with him.
Okay, Unit 1, complete or not complete?
Complete with the city, not with the code enforcement.
So still needs to be inspected?
By the code enforcement. The city's done. City's
had. Permit inspections are complete, still needs code inspection. Separate units. Separate. Okay,
so we need 30 days for unit number 2?
Yes, sir.
30 days around here only goes to August 3, 2016. Is that enough time or not?
Trying my best, yes.
What's today?
13.
So you actually get 4 days.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll do it.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah, we'll get it done. It's not that bad.
Happy with the effort?
Yeah, we're happy with the effort. We believe that the contractor will do what he says he'll do. So if just additional time, we'll be okay.
All right. So since all we're lacking is an inspection on Unit 1 with regard to the first case as to Unit 1, I will amend our current order of noncompliance. Allow the respondent until August 3, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, for the record, we have the parties before us on case number 5 as well, pertaining to Unit 2. I've already heard the presentation by the city. I've heard the testimony of Mr. Kramer. I assume you're hearing Unit 2 as well.
Yes.
And it's my understanding Mr. Crandall needs additional time, and from what I hear, the city seems to be satisfied with the effort. And so I'm allowing the respondent until September 7, 2016 to be in compliance on unit number 2 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Does that cover everything?
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck with you.
Thank you.
Case number 6, Dana S. and Renard K. Thayer, Veronica Hobbs, and Juanita Redd.
Yes, sir, that's in compliance July 6th.
Yes, it would. It says it right there in the
bold letter. Well, it's kind of close to the bottom.
Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, Joseph and Barbara Daly. Anyone here for the respondent? What's in the city?
This is case number 8, right? Yeah, this is before you, Mr. Bekelja, for imposition of a fine plus the one-time $250 fee for no rental license. No business tax receipt. The inspector is John Stinson, and Mr. Stinson reports that the property is remains in non-compliance. He notes that this was a complaint-driven violation that included complaints that there was parking all over the yard and unlicensed rental. He's since received a call from the owner stating that the tenant will not permit rental inspections, and that if we want an inspection, we'll have to enter with a warrant. Our request is, and let me get some clarification on the request. I'm not sure. So, okay. So the rental inspection, the rental license.
Is that a trailer parked in the driveway?
Parking complete.
Trailer's gone?
Yes, sir.
If I can just one second.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to give him time, or you want five?
You guys need some quality time.
Okay. Just need some clarify some things for the inspector.
Good morning, John Stinson again, code inspector. My qualifications are on file with the city. All of the violations on the property have been corrected, except for the rental inspection and licensing. I've been advised by the property owner that the tenant refuses.
And this is a tenant-driven complaint?
No, this is a neighborhood-driven complaint. Mm-hmm. But all the violations have been have been corrected, except for the actual rental inspection. And I was advised by the property owner that the tenant, in no way, shape, or form, is going to permit this inspection. And if we want to, we will have to do probably some administrative warrant type thing, if we want to go that route. Unless we just leave it the way we normally do and have the imposition of a fine in the fine runs.
So we're going to fine the guy because the tenant...
But that means if we're not permitted to do this inspection, or if we decide not to pursue to do that inspection, then the only other recourse is the imposition of a fine for the noncompliance.
Well, Ms. Vakelja, if I can just remind... magistrate that it's within the power of the owner to establish some mechanism for us to be able to come in and inspect the property. He has the authority, whether he has to seek legal action, and we'll, I'm sure if he says that's what he wants to do, we'll give him time, even if it results in the necessity to evict the tenant to allow for him to become compliant with the law. But he has a legal requirement to have a rental license. He doesn't have a rental license because he doesn't have a rental inspection. His response is the tenant won't let us in, and therefore, oh well. Or at least that's what I'm understanding from the inspector, and that can't be the final response. Either he has to create a mechanism for us to do the rental inspection, or we have to proceed with a determination that he's not in compliance with the code. There's only two options.
So I'm supposed to jam this owner into a confrontation with his tenant over an inspection?
Well, we
that are... That doesn't sound like a very good idea.
Well, we don't have any other... it's no different than what we do in any other circumstance when a tenant...
My question is, I'm always afraid to ask this question, are the police available to accompany the inspectors for the purpose of conducting their... required inspections, if need be?
The answer would be yes, they are.
Now, and first off, we're just taking the owner's statement at face value. Has anybody spoken to the tenant?
No, sir.
So we're just working off what the owner's telling us the tenant's response is going to be.
The owner has approached the tenant with the need for the inspection, and the tenant's response to the owner was that he's not going to permit it.
And that's what the owner told you.
That's correct.
And our response to that is to fine the owner until he breaks that logjam?
If I can have a moment, I'll speak with the inspector further. Just one brief moment.
I'm not trying to be a pain in the neck here. I don't want a confrontation starting out there on the street between an owner and a tenant, because you got an owner who might be getting fined $100 a day because the tenant's not allowing an inspection, which the tenant has no right to prohibit. And all I'm wondering is, yes, I know the landlord has civil remedies available to him by which he can ultimately get into court and maybe even evict the tenant. I'm just wondering if this in this circumstance, is there something the city can do you know, to implement the inspection the city's requesting, short of throwing these people out there to figure this out on their own, assuming it's a hostile situation, and that's all I'm hearing so far.
Mr. McKelvey, and I understand that request, and I think that's a reasonable request, and quite honestly, I don't know enough of the details to know what we've tried to do or what we can do, but I think it's reasonable for us to make those efforts. So if it's your desire for us to continue.
So the owners called for an inspection.
Yes.
So the owners called for inspection, so now the ball's in your court, isn't it?
No.
You went to some.
The rental process is...
Well, that's really, if I can, may, because that's really a legal question than an inspector question. The owner may have called for an inspection, okay. But what we're left with, we require that we have both the approval of the owner as well as the person that has custody and control of the property, which is the tenant. And so if the tenant's still saying no, it's almost like having two roommates. Yeah, and that's, at least that's the understanding. And if that's the circumstance, I agree with you. Maybe that's something we need to first explore before we move to the next step. I'm not in disagreement, sir.
Again, I'm not trying to put Mr. Stinson here at risk by any means, but it sounds to me as though if the owner's called for the inspection, I don't know that it's enough for the owner to just say you can anticipate problems with the tenant.
Do they have a BTR?
They do. Okay. So they do have the BTR?
They do have the business license. That's not required. I mean,
an inspection was not required. Okay. Okay.
So
that's fine. All right.
I'm going to check it off.
Okay.
So as it stands right now, we haven't done the inspection because the owner has alerted us that we can anticipate a problem with the tenant.
Yes, sir.
And if I understand the basis for the imposition of the fine, it is that the city looks to the owner to facilitate that inspection.
That's correct, sir.
And so just so I can finish this out, so what would you expect the owner to do? Evict the tenant because the tenant's not complying with an obligation to make the premises available for inspection?
Yes. It's not complying with the state, local, and federal laws, which I'm sure is probably some of the terminology of his contract.
All right, I'm going to continue this matter to the next meeting, and I don't know that I want Mr. Stinson going out there and getting himself in any situations, but I would like to hear some response from the tenant.
Yes, sir.
It's just you reporting a phone call so that we can get to the bottom of this and find out what the situation is. If it's a matter above and beyond the owner's control and we have to tell him to evict his tenant, fine. Well, at least we'll have the evidence before us to make that determination. If it turns out the tenant says, I got no problem, come on out, well, then that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Or it goes wherever it goes. But, all right. So I'm continuing this matter to our August 9, 2016 meeting. And as I understand the status of the matter, all we're lacking is this inspection.
For the rental.
Correct. The rental license.
Everything else is.
And the purpose of the continuance is to allow the city and the owner to somehow get in communication with the tenant and report back to me as far as what the tenant's intentions are.
Yeah, and I know the clearing record, Mr. McKell, just for clarification, the what's required is the rental license, but that requires an inspection and a checklist. So whether they would have things that have to be done, yeah.
Without any prejudice whatsoever, do you find anything once the inspection is conducted? I understand that's the purpose of the inspection. I just don't want anything escalating out there on the street if
yes,
try to take care of something as simple as an inspection of this property.
Certainly.
Very good. Case number 9, Johnny L. Bennett.
Yes.
I'm seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Mr. Vakelja, this is before you for a determination of compliance, I mean of imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that this case was another that was complaint-driven. These are recurring violations at the location. It's currently in non-compliance. He now has the water and electric, but the property still remains in non-compliance for some of the other issues on his checklist. And I would tender Mr. Stinson, who is the inspector, to give you that factual information. But the request is for imposition of a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000. And I tender Mr. Stinson.
So is this a rental property?
Yes, sir. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. This is a rental property. I've had no contact with the actual property owner. This is the revisiting of an old case as well, so this has been occurring for quite some time. The violations that still do exist that have not been able to be inspected to see that it's corrected is the non-conforming use as a rooming house. And there is minor outside storage. All of the other violations have been corrected.
All right. When we were here last, you hadn't heard from the owner. As it stands today, you still haven't heard from the owner?
That's correct.
And the owner's not here today?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm ordering the respondent pay the sum of $100 per day, commencing July 13, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000 when the property is in compliance, whichever occurs first. Case number 10, Patrick D. Knox. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. McCouch, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that the property remains in non-compliance. The inspector is John Stinson. He provides that the owner is not providing an opportunity for reinspection, and I'll provide tender Mr. Stinson so that he can explain that further. But he also says that the owners told him that part of the problem is that the former tenant is vandalizing the property. But enough. But the request right now from Mr. Stinson is for a $200 fine to a maximum of $15,000. I tender Mr. Stinson.
Oh, good morning again, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. This began as a tenant complaint for all of the listed violations. Currently, the property has been vacant now for almost a month and a half. However, I have not been afforded the opportunity to enter the property or enter the actual structure to see if the interior violations have been corrected. On the outside, the fencing has been corrected, and that's basically all I can do from the outside.
All right. Case number 10 is Patrick Knox. Which one are we doing right now?
Yes, sir. Number 10, Patrick Knox.
Okay. So what has been done?
The fence has been repaired. The parking issue is no longer there. There's no need for a business tax receipt or a rental licensing inspection because it's vacant and the owner states that she's no longer going to rent it. She's going to put it on the market.
All right. And what is the problem with the tenant?
The former tenant had all of the problems of the outside storage. There's no heat. The problem with verifying that they've been corrected is that have not been provided the opportunity to get inside. The owner has not provided me that opportunity. She just says the tenant's gone.
And has not allowed you access to the property?
That's correct. That's
Pardon?
Correct.
Fair enough. I'll find the respondent sum of $200 per day commencing July 13, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches a sum of $15,000 or the property is in compliance. Case number 11 is in compliance. Case number 12, Janice Buschheiser. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Couch, this too is a complaint-driven case. I'm reading the wrong one. Number 12, let's see. Mr. McCall, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Okay. The inspector is as Cliff Reckonson. What I note here is Mr. Reckonson reports that he has had no contact since the hearing, and he has no known effort from the owner to comply. And his request is for a $100 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000 plus a $250 fee for the business tax receipt. And I tend to Mr. Reckonson for any factual information that you desire.
Okay, Mr. Inspector, what's the problem with the owner here?
I've only had one phone call from him when he was saying that he wasn't going to be able to make the first appearance.
When was that?
Last month.
Okay. Have we heard from him since?
No, sir.
Is any work from
him? No, sir. Okay. And not even the applications have been applied for the rental.
All right. And this is the case of Janice Buschheit, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you keep saying him? Who are you talking to?
I've only talked to one gentleman, and he claimed to be the owner when he was on the phone with me. I couldn't tell you what his name is at this moment.
So does that mean we haven't heard from Janice Buschheit at all?
No, sir.
All right. I will fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing July 13, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000 of the property is in compliance, and will further order respondent to pay the $250 business tax receipt fee. New cases. Benny Enterprises, LLC. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Stand, please.
Stan Holly, an architect representing the owner of this property. He's here today, I guess. You need to.
You're going to be testifying, sir?
Yes, yes.
Okay, state your name, please.
Just be so be.
Okay. If you could raise your right hands, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, do.
Sir?
Do.
Yes.
Okay. Is it Mr. Sobey? Is that what I heard?
S-O-D-H-I. S-O-D-H-I.
All right. And Mr. Sobey, I take it, has authority to speak on behalf of Benny Enterprises, LLC.
Yes.
And Mr. Holly has authority to speak on behalf of Benny Enterprises, LLC. All right. Do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
And I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
To respect, the inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. He reports that he believes it should take until next cutoff, that they should be able to comply by the next cutoff.
Most of the items, can I respond to that? Most of the items on this.
It looks like there's a lot here to digest. No permit, outside storage, grass, weeds, accessory structures, dilapidated, peeling and fading paint. Okay. And what is this property?
This is on International, almost to Beachside. 509 East International. The here's what's been done, and you, I guess the pictures are showing that. If they're before or after. Those are before. The alteration debris has been removed, grass and weeds cut.
Is this on the beach side?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Right across from the subway there on the beach side. That's where the subway store is, before between Grandview and whatever's the other street right
is
in there.
Is that an old picture?
That's old. It's been there. There's the new. Stucco. Most designs have been done. The two that have not been is the roof has not been replaced. And whatever repairs they had in the parking lot has not been. And he just hired me in the last couple of weeks to take care of the problems for him. I guess he's got to go back to India. But there's two items that I'm aware of that need a permit for. The roof replacement. Parking lot, I'm not sure. We're not reworking, but you still need a permit?
Okay.
So I will probably get those permits for him in his absence, and we'll take care of it. Do you need the next meeting or something? No problem.
Mr. McKelvey, we believe it will probably take him till the September meeting. If he's able to get it by August, wonderful.
Yeah, if I can get a permit fast. I know it does. Okay.
So we're dealing with the roof and what else? The driveway?
I'll say the stuff on the driveway.
Well, the other stuff's been done, hasn't it? I think, to my knowledge. Well, he had applied for permits a couple years ago, and they've worked on it some, but it was never finalized, so we'll have to get the permits updated.
And again, I'm not trying to pigeonhole the city, but for my benefit going forward, it looks like what we're still dealing with is the roof and the asphalt.
Is there anything else?
There's some issues, I guess, the second. Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Michael Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are on file with the city. The second floor, the exterior, is it all going to be one updated?
Yes. The exterior on the stairs has been repaired, the handrail on that, because I was out and inspected the property recently.
I mean the sheeting on the outside of the building. See the second floor have... See this thing right here? What is that, like a sign covering windows or something? Or
Where's the side one? It's a pipe covering only.
So what?
It's a gutter pipe covering only. Well, the remove everything. You see,
after picture shows that's gone.
Okay.
It's only covering the pipe.
Answering the question. I don't know what you said.
Yes, it's going to be the two permits, the roof and the asphalt, and then you already got one for the building with all the work you already done.
Well, there was one before, but I guess it expired. He was out of the country.
Need to get that reopened.
But I'll get it reopened up, whatever it is. So but I just, you know.
Permits.
Sorry.
This is back here, my answer.
Here you go.
It would be three permits.
Okay. And just as an added thing, David, I will go to this TRT meeting right from here. They're in progress at the same time, and we'll discuss these two projects or these two.
All right, so we have three permits to be obtained. So how much time is the city saying we want to be able to take this permit?
By the September cutoff.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by September 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Whenever I hear discussion of permits and the need for permits, sometimes that
takes a while.
So just please keep careful track of the progress along the way. So if additional time is required, you can let me know why. Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 14, Gatlin Brothers of Daytona Beach LLC and Family Food Store.
This would be the J Food Store. Hello. Could you please state your name?
William. Last name Saeed. S-A-I-D.
Sir?
Okay, ma'am. Same last name, Saeed.
Okay. Can you raise your right hands, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
And your last names are Saeed?
Saeed.
S-A-I-D?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, gentlemen, what is your association with Gatlin Brothers of Daytona Beach LLC and Family Food Store Inc.?
Okay, we are partners in Gatlin Brothers Inc. as the buildings, and we
do. You have authority to speak on behalf of the respondents.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir. I do.
All right, I finally responded to noncompliance. All right, let me go over here for a moment. Okay, Mr. City Attorney, we determined that the respondent is in noncompliance. The question now becomes how much time should reasonably be required for the respondents to be able to come into compliance?
The inspector reports that they will need a couple of permits, and he's asking for compliance for September. So that September cutoff, I think you said was September 7th.
September 7th.
And then the inspector is Michael Fitzgerald, so I attend to Mr. Fitzgerald for any factual information you need.
Okay. First off, have we been in communication with these respondents? Because we've got a pretty lengthy list here, and I understand September is some ways off, but we have a lengthy list here. So are we... are we satisfied that everyone's on the same page as far as what all needs to be done?
Yes, sir. That should be enough extension to do this.
Right. They're suggesting that this work all ought to be completed and inspected, don't forget inspected, by September 7, 2016. What say you to that?
I agree.
You agree?
Well, we have... I had communicated with the inspector a few times, and we do trying to catch up with some of these violations that it's been recorded. However, you know, we correct, you know, some of it. However, we had deaths in our family. My aunt passed away. Thank you. And I just came back from California a few days ago. And I just would like to have a little bit time to correct the violations. However, you know, the major one that I'm facing right now is the parking lot. We're trying to see what is the best way to correct that. And however, you know, on the electric and all that wiring that has been hanging from the building to the sign, we had all that been removed, and it's been the building been painted from outside. However, you know, we some of the violations still exist, you know, on the garbage and the waste that I'm not aware of. The containers has been in front of the store. However, we're trying to eliminate all the those problems and to be compliant with the city in this field, you know.
Mr. Inspector, not to minimize this list of violations, are these mostly cosmetic?
There's a...
I mean, I'm just trying to satisfy myself. Oh, never mind. Let me just ask my question. Are they mostly cosmetic?
Mostly, but there will be some permits for the parking lot.
Right.
And the... where the... the electrical would have to be done by electrical contractor. And then there's the hood system for this area, which was he said has already been done. He's contacted the contractor. And then the fence has been repaired. The property has been washed. The grass has been mowed. He still has to get a permit for the repair of the door that was hit by a car?
Yes. What happened on that door, some accident had happened, and they knocked the door and some of the wall, of little bit of the wall. However, you know, we did fix the door back there, and but I'm not sure we should have a permit on it, which is I done it already. I'm not sure what we have to do about it. However, I had spoke.
That was just, yes. It was done.
However, I'm working with Wise Builders. He's a local contractor in this city. He will help me out to get the permit for that job.
Fair enough. I'll take y'all's word for it. All right, based on the presentation by the city and the indication from the respondents, I'll order the respondent coming into compliance by September 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, let me tell you what you need to do going forward here, because you've got a lengthy list here. And if you end up getting jammed up time-wise, contractor-wise, permit-wise, whatever it may be, you stay in touch with that gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Because if you need more time, that gentleman will be your best friend. As long as he reports to me, yes, the respondent's been in touch with me. He's kept me abreast of everything that's gone along the way, and he will probably require more time. And don't forget, you have to have an inspection or it's not done.
Yes, sir.
So let me urge you to stay with, and again, this is not an overwhelming list, but there's a lot of details to be addressed here.
Sure.
And so I just urge you, if we start coming up short because people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, you keep your inspector informed as far as the status of your progress.
Yes, sir.
And then if you need additional time, we will be more amenable to considering.
Well, that's nice of you, and this is really, it's a satisfaction decision.
Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Case number 15, Joseph Jansecki.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Joseph Jansecki.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Jansecki, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I don't know. I bought the house last year, but what happened, unfortunately, I wound up being in a hospital. I had two operations, so I was going to do work on the house, get permits and everything, and since my incident with the operations, I couldn't do nothing, and I had nobody here to do anything. So here's a letter stating that the dates that I was in the hospitals and the operations. The real estate lady that did the closing when I bought the house, she did some squatter is in there, and she did some police work, called the police and stuff. I got records here that she called the police, tried to get these people out of there, so I don't know. Those are from the police. The real estate lady tried to get the people that are squatting there, you know, the squatters, to get them out. And I don't know, the police wouldn't do nothing, and they're still in there.
The squatters are?
Yeah. So I don't even know what the violations are or what, you know, what brought this up.
Are these people still in the house?
Yes, they are.
And what are you doing to get them out?
Well, the police wouldn't do nothing. I don't know. I mean, I went there and I told them they got to get out. So I don't know what to do, you know.
And now the health department is citing you for sewage problems?
Well, the house is not livable.
I was going to say, does it have power?
It has some electricity only in the garage, but not nowhere inside the house.
Is the water service on?
Only the water is up to you know, there's no bathroom or nothing there, you know.
Okay, so these people have just moved into your house?
Well, They must have been there from since I left here, you know.
When did you buy the house?
I bought it in, I believe it was in November, or before November.
Last year?
Yeah, last year. Sometime last year.
Were they in the house then?
No. No, I started, you know, doing some work on the house, and then the city inspectors came in, and they told me that I have to get permits, you know, and I wound up, now I have an architect that did plans to redo the house, so I don't even know why I'm here, you know.
Well, you're here because you own the property.
All right, well, I mean...
have you gone to the police department to file some sort of trespass complaint against you?
Yeah, the real estate lady did that, and the police couldn't do nothing. I don't know.
Well, this is a three-day notice to tenant. Are these people paying you rent?
No.
Did you ever agree to rent the property to them?
Nope.
Did you ever meet them prior to them moving in?
Nope. Like I said, I was, you know, since I was in the hospital, you know, since February, you know, to
to June.
Yeah. I had two operations. I had two bypasses.
So you were housebound from February to June?
Yeah. I had
you were first notified of this in May.
I had nurses.
And you were told to bring come into compliance by June 6th. All right. This says you're moving. Are you moving and leaving the area?
I'm moving to come down here. That's it from Pennsylvania. I was in Pennsylvania.
And were you planning on living in this house?
Yes.
So are you renting a house right now?
No.
Where are you staying now?
I'm staying at a friend's house.
So you own this house. You plan on moving into this house.
Yeah, I'm planning to fix.
Your plan is to remodel the house.
Right. So I want to remodel.
People are in the house.
I want to do a complete remodel.
And you're not tenants.
No.
And no one's removing them for you.
Well, I'm going to try again with the police. She was, you know, with the.
All right, I would urge you to try again with the police because I think your realtor might have done you a little bit of a disservice. Because it doesn't sound as though this is a tenancy, but I'm no expert in landlord-tenant issues. All right, let's get back to the business at hand here. So what you're basically telling me is you, for some reason, can't get access to your own property to make whatever corrective action the city thinks needs to be done.
That's correct.
All right. Okay.
I bought this house for retirement, you know, it's a bizarre,
you know, we'll figure it out.
I'm going to move down here. I'm going to be putting in for the permits with my architect's plans and everything because I want to redo the whole house, you know.
All right, well, let's back up. How did this come to the city's attention to begin with?
That's what I don't understand.
No. I'll have to, of course, look to our Mr. Stinson. Okay, it's complaint driven. Oh, I know, and he told me that. That's neighborhood complaint driven, seeing all of this activity. And quite honestly, as I spoke with the inspector, he doesn't really question the status that he's being informed of regarding the respondent. I think our preference on this is to to set this for a progress report in 60 days. It may be remedied by then. We believe that we really need to take another look at what happened. I don't know what happened with the law enforcement. And maybe we should just do it in 30 days. But I don't know what happened with the law enforcement effort. But that's something we want to look into because it sounds like something that should be able to put him in a position to remedy, and right now I can understand a question of whether or not he's really in that position to provide a remedy.
So in addition to what Mr. Jancheski has told me, not that I'm doubting his word, but I'm looking at the health department talking about raw sewage around the room of the house, which would indicate to me there's probably no water service.
There is a new water meter there, and there's only water up to the outside faucet that's on right in the front. I don't know if you can see.
And I've got his doctor's note here that he was basically confined from February to June 2016 with heart issues. I've got a 3-day notice of tenant. I don't know why anybody would do that if the people aren't tenants. I don't know why you wouldn't be down at the police department banging on the counter and telling somebody to get these people out of your house.
Well, I'm
you got to fill out a trespass warrant or a trespass complaint.
No, I put already signed trespassing signs on
there. Right. Well, here's what I'm going to do. All right, I want this taken care of. I'm going to continue this matter to our next meeting, which is August 9th. So I'm not going to make any decisions today. I'm not going to hold you liable for something I'm not sure you had any control over. Now, maybe I'm totally wrong, and heaven forbid if you should be lying to me, because then you'll regret it. But all I'm telling you is, we're going to go until the next meeting, that's August 9th, and you're going to come back, and hopefully you're going to tell me, all right, please remove these people, I'm back in possession, here's my plans, this is what I hope to do with the house, and this should satisfy the city as far as coming into compliance. All right? So, you will be back here, no matter what, on August 9th, to give me a progress report on your efforts to get these people out of the house. And you might talk to the police, but I'd be real careful about characterizing them as tenants if they're not tenants.
Right.
Because if you characterize them as tenants, the police department may look at it like this is a landlord-tenant situation and just tell you it's a civil issue that you have to resolve yourself.
Right.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you have them... we would need copies for the record, but if those are your copies, if you could just, do you have access to email or anything? Is that an original or a copy? Okay. Whatever you presented to him for the record, I would need.
That's from the health department.
That's from the health department.
Yes.
If you can, I can make a copy and give you back the original. I can mail it to you. Is this the address to mail it to you? Do we have the mailing address correct for you, for your documents? Okay. So I'll just make a copy of this and I'll mail you back your original. That should be good. No, I think that was all that was handed in. That's just an email with... That looks like it's an email to the inspector.
Yeah, he has that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll get you back this.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
And lastly, let me just add that if for whatever reason the police department doesn't feel it's their responsibility, then you probably need to go consult an attorney. I'll find out what can be done to get these people out if the police department isn't going to remove them. But either way, at the next meeting, I want to hear something.
From what I heard was that because I wasn't here, that they came and tell them to go out because it was, you know, their word, because, you know, whatever they stated, you know, to the police couldn't get them out, you know.
Right,
since
well,
I'm here now, they'll have to get out, you know, because I'm going to call the police and I'm going to have them come in.
Well, once again, if there's no response from the police department, then you might need to consult an attorney to find out what you can do to get these people removed. Because, unfortunately, like it or not, you're the owner, so you're ultimately responsible. So you just need to follow through. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Case number 16, Daisy Smalls Johnson and George Smalls Jr. and Vincent E. Smalls. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Can you state your name, please, ma'am?
I'm George Small. This is my mom, Daisy Small Johnson.
Daisy Small.
Okay. Can you raise your hand?
raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear? Ma'am, could you raise your... Are you able to? Thank you. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, John.
Yes.
And then I find the respondent in noncompliance. All right, let's talk to the city about how much time it should take to fix things.
Mr. Kelcher, the inspector says that this can be remedied or taken care of by next cutoff. He does recognize that there was a tenant issue, but he believes from what he saw, possibly the tenant's out now. I don't know. They'll have to verify. But other than that, if they can get in there, he believes it can be done by next cutoff.
Okay.
August.
He's suggesting that if the tenant is out of the way,
okay,
you ought to be able to get this. You ought to be able to get this done by August 3.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think so.
All right. Well, you know the thing is, take a look at the list.
I got the list here.
All right. Because if you're needing additional time, or you don't think that's enough time, now's the time to let me know.
Your Honor, can I speak first?
Yes, ma'am.
What happened? I put her out. The guy said, kept going there. Each time we go to the house, she won't come out. I went back over there again. She went back in the house again. She still said she won't come out. She hides in the house. I'm alive. She don't. She did it for ever since January. She ain't paid me now since January. And she won't pay the water bill. She put that water bill on. Look at it. I told her, call her right into the city. She's putting that water on you. The city didn't look like it.
Okay.
And I told him to go there. He's going to go, I'm tripping. I can get around, I can drive. And he don't understand nothing.
Well, then it's going to be difficult.
She stayed in my house and set the light for the water bill for me to pay. And I ain't paying on the water bill like this. She had to give me an air pen. Not now. She moved and she took the bill $2,000. She ain't give me an air pen. She moved and moved. She set the bill to my house every day. Get light and water bill to pay. Not able to work.
Is she out of there now?
No, she's still in there.
I
told him to go out. I said, go by there and we'll stop. He's safe. And I can't drive. I'm good.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Right, well, there's a process here. Let's make sure.
And I'm sure of them taking me through this. I said, I didn't get around. But put them problems on me. She kept paying up everything. Every time he put us, I said, go in and check. He's safe. And I can't drive. Because I'm good.
What's the status of that?
Well, I can go about it today and stretch it out, but we will need to comply with whatever needs to be done.
I'm not going to fix it. You can fix it. I'm not going to fix it already. I'll fix that stuff. She tell me I fix it. And he don't fix nothing. I pay for everything. Tell the truth. Don't lie about it. I paid that. I ain't got the money. He don't pay
me.
Then I might have to give additional time for you to deal with the tenant and come into compliance. If the tenant is not in there, then all we have to do is talk about compliance.
Okay.
So we don't know whether the tenant's in there or not.
Yes, he's in there. That's what I'm calling. And I can't tell him to go by there. He won't go. The truck, the brand new truck, and she ain't pay out the truck. She used it. Old lady, you better pay out the bills, old lady. You ask out a lawyer, old lady. And she's talking to me like she's talking to your daughter. And he knows.
Okay. All right.
And
so
she made 2 jobs right there.
She does what now?
What, 2 jobs. And won't give me an air pen. Her son is.
Now, if she's in there, you know you have to start eviction proceedings.
Oh, I gave her 3.
Gave her 3 what?
Fixed the move. She still ain't moved. Like she moved. I go back like in there. My granddaughter did the same. 6 times. She want to come here.
Catch up. She
high. They told me she high. They're telling me to do this.
So you're saying she was evicted?
Yes.
And now, okay, well.
What I want to do is she'll say a few times. She goes and come back home and get like my granddaughter. And she got people staying inside her son. Got my agent staying with her. That's what she said. Let my house out. That's what she doing. And get that money. Keep it for herself. And I'm sick of it. I'm old. She used me. Old lady. You back. Old lady. That's what she told me. Old lady. And he didn't say one word. I told him what I didn't say. I can't drive. I can't walk by this. I got to walk. See, she's not walking alone. I thought him for everything, but he should have went back like I told him to check on. Wait, you know where is you?
All right, do we have like an eviction order?
I think it was three times.
Yeah, we had an order
and
like
an eviction. Six times.
I guess about the fourth or fifth time. She did get the notice. She got the notice.
Usually, the way these things work is an eviction judgment entered. I think there's something called a writ of possession.
Three times.
And the sheriff goes over to the house and physically escorts them off the property.
That's true. You're right.
That ever happened?
No, it happened. She hides at home.
I don't think she can hide that
in the house. The sheriff told me, wrote me a letter saying she went by the sixth time. Each time he went there, she wouldn't come out and do it. The sheriff told me that.
Okay, so anyway, my point is, you know, I know you're telling me that there was an eviction and what have you.
Three times.
Did we get to the point where there was an order entered by the court telling her to leave?
I believe she goes home.
Delivered by the sheriff and her removed.
What she did, I don't know.
She never come back.
But she did get the letter that she had to leave, Your Honor.
Well, that's just, okay, I understand what you're saying. And all I'm doing is speculating here.
That's okay.
But it sounds like you sent some preliminary notices to her, put her on
notice that
she's supposed to leave. But then you got to finish out the process by going to court and getting a court order.
I need you.
Court then gives to the sheriff. The sheriff takes to the property and walks her in her possession to the street.
I know.
Has that happened?
No, it ain't happened. Well, she ain't getting it. She's hired. I told her. The people say she's hired every time we go there. Now, Patrick, it's brand new car sitting in the yard. I told him to go, but he won't go.
is her name Kelly Thomas?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. She might have come to court. He didn't go. That's about what happened. I told her I was supposed to go to court. Yeah.
Does anybody know how long an eviction proceeding takes? I don't.
I don't know that, Mr. McCoucher.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think there's a self-help process.
Three times.
Yes, there are. There are forms, and the clerk would assist in just the preparation of the forms. They can obtain them at the clerk's office at the courthouse. No.
I do see there was a case. It's not pulling up right now, but 2016-31398 COCI, but it says closed. I'm just not sure what the closing document is.
She closed herself. But I'm going to go there and get the police put out the date when I leave here. I'm sure
it is. 2016-31398.
Sorry, this is slow.
I fault myself for everything. You don't do what you're telling me to do.
I'm going to turn off the Wi-Fi because it's slow.
You don't pay us, but he don't do what you tell us to do. See, I know what to do.
COCI.
All right. Sounds as though there was a case pending at one time.
She filed an answer memorandum from judge on 5/17/2016 to determine rent. There was an order of dismissal 5/23/16. So it sounds like you'll have to do it.
She wanted me to pay a light bill in order. She ain't give me a damn penny. I ain't able to go.
Well, you know, y'all are going to have to find something. You're probably going to have to get an attorney and evict her.
I'm glad. I'm calling the police.
Somebody started the process, but it sounds as though they didn't finish the process.
Him? So, yeah. All right.
Now, so, that having been said, have I found the respondent not compliant?
Yes.
Your Honor, can I call the police and put out?
Can you what?
Can I call the police and have her put out?
Well, there's a process that you have to follow, and then the sheriff will end up putting her out.
But the sheriff said he went there too.
But somebody's got to. Well, it's more than just serving her with a notice.
Three times.
It sounds as though she got the notice, and it sounds as though she went and fought the eviction.
She sure did. He went there.
The next thing I'm hearing is it sounds as though the case was dismissed without any activity.
But she might go to court. That's what it was.
She what?
He didn't go to court. He probably went to court, I bet.
Okay.
He didn't get the paper, but she kept the paper. That's how she
keeps the paper. There was
no... The paper go to her house, and she don't get them.
Both parties did not appear.
So it sounds as though there was a hearing set, and nobody showed up.
So what? Because everyone told me so.
All right, well, the process needs to be started and finished. I've already found a respondent in non-compliance.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to postpone scheduling a compliance date to our next meeting.
All right.
August 9th of 2016, one or both of you need to be back here.
I will be.
I'm looking to hear.
Okay.
I'm looking to hear the status of the tenant.
Okay.
And I'm urging you to do whatever you need to do to start the process and get the tenant evicted if that's what the plan is.
That's what it is.
Okay.
He's going to go to court now.
Choice to just tell you to bring the thing into compliance and then you deal with the tenant as best you can. So I'll try to accommodate you to a point.
Okay.
But if we're here on August 9th and you're no further along, then at that point I'll establish a compliance date and then you just do the best you can.
Yep.
We don't want that.
No.
We'd rather get these things taken care of along the way than just let them fester.
Yeah, can I say something?
Yes,
okay, this guy was staying with me. He ain't went to her house. He said, you need to back me to lady house. I'm not getting that knowing. She won't pay my water bill. I kept bringing the guy to court with me. She told him that. But really in my house. He stayed in my house in the back. And she said, she going to pay my rent. She going to pay it, old lady. Because I ain't got nowhere to go, old lady. Call me old lady.
All right, well, you need to follow up with the court. And more importantly, you need to finish it. Because when it's finished, it'll mean a sheriff walking out and evicting her.
And I'm going to go with the sheriff and get make sure she's out.
Tonight from the sheriff.
Well, no, she won't. No. She didn't have that down because the sheriff wrote me a letter and told me. The sheriff went 6 times.
Okay. August the 9th, that's the next.
August 9th, you're back here.
What time?
It'll be at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And hopefully you're going to tell me she's either evicted or you're well underway to getting her evicted.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And one way or another, at that point, we're going to establish a compliance.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good
thank
luck.
You. To you. Thank
you. Case number 17, Edna Sheffield, Life Estate.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you say your name, please?
Are you
going to be testifying? Is he going to be speaking?
Yes, my cousin. Okay. Madison.
I'm sorry, what was your name? Your name, sir?
Charles Madison.
Okay, can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. And if you could bring up that microphone. I'm not sure if it'll stay or is it will. There it goes. Okay.
Okay, Ms. Sheffield, are we in agreement that these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of
they did, but since then, she's been evicted Friday. The sheriff was there to escort her off of my property
there
Friday.
You go. That's what we need in the previous case.
Yep, she's gone.
All right.
And what I wanted to find out, Dave, see, I'm retired and only income I have is my income, right? We wanted to put the house on lockdown, right, until we can save some money and then come get a permit to fix the house. But right now, Dorothy, ain't nobody in it.
And you own the home?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. Let's ask the city how much time they think it should take to bring
it. Oh, boy, I ain't got...
Ms. McKelvey, the inspector is John Stinson. He reports it should take till the September cutoff to come into compliance.
The September cutoff. All right. The city thinks you ought to be able to get all this work done by September 7, 2016. What do you think?
I'm not going to even say that, David, because like I said, you know, I live from check to check. And
all right. Well, let me ask you this then. How long would you think it would take before you would be able to bring the
It's going to take at least about 4 or 6 months for me to get it together. I ain't going to tell no tale.
Okay. Are you the only one that owns the property?
I'm the only one.
The property's empty?
Yes, sir.
And are you agreeing to keep it empty?
Yes.
And you'll keep the property secured to city standards?
Yes.
And you'll maintain the exterior so the neighbors don't grudge?
Yes.
All right, well, let's do this for now. I don't want to get these guys too mad at me. What I'll do right now is I'll give you a November 2, 2016 compliance date. All right, let me say it this way. Don't get nervous when you hear it.
I just want one caution, Mr. McCallum. This is rental, and I think their anticipation is that they're going to go back and rent the property in its current condition.
No.
No.
He looked.
I'm I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by November 2, 2016, or the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Between now and the property being in compliance, it will be secured.
Yes, sir.
It will not be occupied or rented.
No, sir.
And the exterior will be maintained.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
You all good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, if November 2 comes along and you're needing additional time, contact that inspector over there. You need to call him anyway for a final inspection just to let him know where you stand as far as coming into compliance and whether you may require additional time. My point is, I'll give you some additional time as long as the property is secure,
the exterior
is maintained, and nobody occupies it.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're all on the same page?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
No problem. Case number 18, Ute H. Wessel.
We in compliance and I'll do that. Okay. Ms. Vakel, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector reports that the property was in noncompliance. The respondent has since ceased advertising. And to the knowledge of the inspector, the property is now in compliance. But he's asking for a finding of noncompliance with an acknowledgement that it's now in compliance for any future violations.
Property is zoned SFR5. What does that mean?
I can't remember. Make notes for it.
No, I was just curious as to the nature of the violation.
Yeah, Ms. Vakelja, basically it's short-term rental. And the way that our code, especially the way we reorganized our land development code, our determination of zoning, permitted zoning, is by going to a zoning chart. And so it's really a reference to the zoning table, and in our zoning table it tells us that the only place that short-term rental is permitted is in the tourist district, which is the I don't know what that zoning is. T1. And so something that's in the SFR, which is residential district, is not a permitted use to have short-term rental.
What's a short-term rental?
Rental of 30 days or less. 6 months or less? Someone help me. All right, thank you. 6 months or less. By our code definition. And something of just a point of interest, just if not now, it'll come up at some point, is that the state of Florida has authorized short-term rentals by prohibiting jurisdictions from being able to set rental time periods, but it's for where such time periods didn't exist prior to a certain date in the statute, and we already had our prohibitions in the our code prior to those dates. I had a reference to that. I can tell you specifically. There's a preemption portion that says prior to June 1, 2011. This paragraph does not apply to any local law, ordinance, or regulation adopted prior before June 1, 2011. So.
And so what was this person doing, advertising for short-term rentals?
Yeah, that's if you probably have heard of, if you're not using them yourselves, Airbnb and those other types of short-term rental websites now that they have out. They were advertising on such websites. That's kind of become an issue we've been dealing with in the city. I would not be surprised if we've had at least one case. I don't know if that was that wasn't before you. But the next case would be the same type of case. It's an issue that we're having in the city right now. Part of that is that a number of the jurisdictions in the state of Florida, in fact, many of them, did not have ordinances in place that prohibited. And so it's allowed in a lot of places. And so people presume it's allowed here. And I think even is this the case where they say the realtor told them when they purchased it that that's what they'd be able to use it for? But told them that in there.
All right. Well, noting the absence of the respondent, based on the presentation by the city and the testimony of our inspector,
I find the respondent to be in, that the respondent was in non-compliance. I further now find that the respondent has come into compliance, but order that for any future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a will fund of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
That's correct, sir. And these are typically complaint-driven, the neighbors in the neighborhood. You have the residual things, but just the whole, you know, people coming and going on a short-term basis in a residential neighborhood sometimes leaves people uncomfortable.
Case number 19, Mary L. Sink. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
This property, as well as in now in compliance, or was in non-compliance at the time that they were cited. Similar situation as I previously described, and the staff is looking for a finding of non-compliance for the sake of repeat violations.
All right. Noting the absence of the respondent, and based upon the city's presentation, I find that the respondent was in non-compliance, but has subsequently come into compliance. I further order that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a will fine up to $5,000 per occurrence. That's it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
Yes. I think they. Did you want to introduce? Not yet. No, you do it on the record. Come on. This is how we do these things.
And Tony and Amy, this is our new code inspector, Jerome McCoy. He's been here 2 days, and he'll be coming before you soon.
Nice to meet you. Good luck.
Likewise. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Welcome.
Thank you.
A newbie.
All right.
I don't know of anything else.
All right. If that's the case, we're adjourned.